Meet Sienna. The character is fictional. The experience is shared by people across Southeast today. This is their story. NHS workforce planning in the Reigate constituency has failed to match training places to the doctors who want to fill them, leaving hospital wards understaffed while qualified candidates circle through locum work. Her experience reveals how Treasury spending controls block medical training even when the facilities stand ready and the supervisors are available.
I chose medicine because I wanted to be useful. During sixth form, I volunteered at a care home in Red Hill where I grew up. There was this resident, Mrs. Patterson, who had been a nurse herself during the war. She told me stories about working in field hospitals, about making do with whatever they had, about never giving up on a patient. When I got into King's College, London, to study medicine, I felt like I was carrying forward something she had started. My mum, who taught primary school, always said the best careers are the ones where you go to bed knowing you made someone's day better. That felt right. After completing my foundation years at East Surrey Hospital, I was ready for the next step. GP training felt like the natural choice. I wanted to work with families in my local area, to be the doctor people turned to when they needed someone who understood their lives. In 2022, I applied through Surrey and Sussex Local Education and Training Board, confident that my grades and experience would see me through. The rejection email was polite but firm. The scheme was oversubscribed, they said. Health Education England had reduced their budget allocation, and they could only accept a fraction of qualified applicants. I was told to try again next year. It sounded reasonable at first. These things happen. Competition is fierce, but 8 months of locum shifts gave me time to think. I was working different wards every week, filling gaps where permanent staff should have been. The hospitals needed doctors. I was a doctor. Yet somehow there was no pathway from where I was to where they needed me. I applied again, this time directly to the Kent, Surrey and Sussex Deanery. The conversation was eerily similar. The training coordinator was apologetic but clear. Treasury spending controls mean we can only fund 60% of available training posts, she explained. We have qualified applicants. We have supervisors ready to teach, but the budget ceiling is fixed. She sounded as frustrated as I felt. There is no funding, she said, using the exact words I was hearing everywhere. I tried NHS England next, hoping there might be alternative pathways. After 3 phone calls and 2 email exchanges, I was directed back to Health Education England. The response was identical. Budget constraints prevent expansion of training places. The same phrase, the same apologetic tone, the same closed door. Then I was assigned a locum shift at Royal Surrey Hospital. During my lunch break, I wandered through the postgraduate medical centre, looking for somewhere quiet to eat. That's when I found them. Entire corridors of seminar rooms, sitting empty. Teaching spaces with whiteboards and projectors, unused. Computer terminals still in their boxes, stacked against walls in rooms that should have been buzzing with trainees. I asked the facilities manager about it. He shrugged. We've got capacity for twice as many trainees as we currently take, he said. These rooms used to be full back in the day. Now they just sit here. The infrastructure is all here. The consultants are willing to teach, but the money just isn't there. That's when something clicked. I could see the rooms. I could see the equipment. I knew dozens of doctors like me who were desperate to train. I knew the supervisors existed because I was working alongside them every day on my locum shifts. So what exactly was missing? What was this money that apparently did not exist? I started paying closer attention to the language people used. There is no funding. The budget has been cut. We cannot afford to run that program. Everyone said it like it was a law of physics, something beyond human control. But I began to notice the contradiction everywhere I looked. The training places sitting empty weren't empty because of a lack of people who wanted to fill them. They weren't empty because of a lack of supervisors to teach them. They weren't empty because of a lack of facilities to house them. They were empty because someone in Westminster had decided not to spend the pounds that would connect the people to the training to the empty rooms. The government that issues the currency was telling me it could not find enough of its own currency to train the doctors its own hospitals desperately needed. It was like a farmer claiming he couldn't afford to plant seeds while standing in a field with empty soil, holding a bag of grain with workers ready to sow. The seeds existed, the field existed, the workers existed. The shortage was entirely artificial. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were, all of them. The excuse was not a fact, it was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says, we cannot afford it. Except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I'm still here. Still working locum shifts, still watching empty training rooms gather dust while hospitals struggle with staff shortages. But I understand now that my story isn't unique to medicine or to Surrey. It's the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare. The cupboard was never bare. Someone just chose to keep it locked.
What Sienna experienced has a name, fake experts. This technique relies on citing authorities who treat false assumptions as settled facts. Like tobacco companies once quoted doctors who claimed smoking was harmless, or pharmaceutical firms cited researchers who downplayed addiction risks, the household budget myth survives by surrounding itself with credible voices who repeat it without question. When Sienna was told there is no funding, she was hearing from NHS administrators, training coordinators, and budget managers who had been taught to think like household treasurers. They genuinely believed the government that issues pounds could run out of pounds. They cited this belief as though it were economic law, not political choice. The objection economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation is classic fake expertise. Which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say without naming them is an appeal to unnamed authority. Meanwhile, the real economists studying monetary sovereignty explain that currency-issuing governments face resource limits, not financial ones. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources. People, skills, materials, time. In Sienna's case, those resources were sitting idle. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Reigate ranks 522 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025. The constituency has 4,181 registered charities, according to the Charity Commission Register. Total grants received were £40.1 million, according to 360 Giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.